Let us pray. Father, we praise you for the gifts and skills you have put into our lives. We thank you that we have eyes to see, ears to hear, and minds to think. We praise you for giving us a desire to learn more about you and your world. We thank you for all those inventions that make life easier and safer, for cars and computers, mobile phones and washing machines, wheelchairs and heart monitors. We praise you for lives made more comfortable and for lives that have been saved, for the fun and excitement that modern technology has added to our lives. Forgive us whenever we put our possessions before people, ourselves and our dreams before the needs of others. Forgive us whenever we put anyone or anything before you. Forgive us for pleasing ourselves and not listening to your call to love our neighbour. Hear our prayer and fill us again with your love and your joy. Amen.
Take your seats, and Ian's going to come and bring the word to us this morning.
Reading from the Sermon on the Mount this morning from Matthew chapter 5, from verse 1. So one day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Do not worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. So why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today.
If you haven't got your sheets, put your hand up. Sam's got the sermon outline there for you if you want to follow along with that this morning. As we continue living in the goodness of God, part two, letting God meet your needs. Last week we started off this series, and if you missed the first message, and it is available on the website, Mal's uploaded it there. But it's as we work through Psalm 23. We're going to read, we're going to look at a few different versions of the psalm, because I think it, I like when people have taken scripture and have looked at it and been able to paraphrase it in different versions. Sometimes it helps me to look at different versions, and I hope it encourages you as well. So this morning we're going to read together the slides on the screen from the voice paraphrase, if we can have that up there. Thanks, Mal. Let's read together. The Eternal is my shepherd. He cares for me always. He provides me rest in rich green fields beside streams of refreshing water. He soothes my fears. He makes me whole again, steering me off worn, hard paths to roads where truth and righteousness echo his name. Even in the unending shadows of death's darkness, I am not overcome by fear, because you are with me in those dark moments. Near with your protection and guidance, I am comforted. You spread out a table before me, provisions in the midst of attack from my enemies. You care for all my needs, anointing my head with soothing, fragrant oil, filling my cup again and again with your grace. Certainly your faithful protection and loving provision will pursue me wherever I go, always, everywhere. I will always be with the eternal in your house forever. Hope you're encouraged by those words. I just like the way it's captured. To give you a little bit of a summary from last week, just to maybe remind you what we looked at, but we're looking at when you don't understand how good God really is, it creates some kind of problems in our life. But when we understand the goodness of God and live in the goodness of God, it'll help us keep life in perspective. It keeps life in perspective as you go. I'd like to introduce you to someone, and I thought of bringing her along today, but I decided not to because it says not to work with animals or kids. But this is our border collie. She's 4 and a half now. Her name is Oreo, and that's her on a recent holidays at the beach. She's a beautiful dog. She's got her quirks, but she lives the good life. She enjoys life she lives in the goodness of the Wallace household and is a proud protector of not only the family, but of the family home as well. Even tries to dominate the cat, but I think the cat wins back on many occasions. Now look, I don't speak dog. I don't understand what goes on in my dog's life, you know? She wags a tail, I'm assuming she's happy. She eats her food, I'm assuming that she was hungry before she ate the food and hopefully satisfied. She leaves the plants alone, then hopefully she's occupied. But my basic job, or the job of our family, is to feed her, is to lead her, and to meet her needs. That's kind of some of the core things of being a pet owner, isn't it? Who's got pets? Who wishes they didn't have pets? It's a whole other story. Very good. Our job is to feed, lead, and to meet needs. And that's simple, but in return, she loves us. She leaves us surprises on the lawn that she's proud about. And she's obedient some of the time. Obedient some of the time, you know. And of course, they say border collies are smart dogs, but sometimes I question that. The dogs have a good life. But quite often she blames the cat for anything that she does wrong in her life. That's not our dog and that's not our house, just FYI. Now, I've never met a real-life shepherd before. Anyone met a real-life shepherd? No, I've never met a real-life shepherd. A farmer, maybe. If Bill was here, I'd probably refer to Bill because, you know, he's had that experience. And, you know, I'm sure many of us at different times have been on a farm and spent some time with some sheep. They're not the smartest animal sometimes. But I've never met the true image of a biblical shepherd to really get that image. But in this psalm, it leads off with that verse. It says in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, we've all heard this psalm, I'm sure, many times before. You know, quite often, as I said last week, it gets used in funerals and for good reason, because there's just so many great layers of language in it. But the perfect picture of the goodness of God and the prescription to life's stresses we're going to look at. But as we start, I want to give you some three fundamental truths of God's goodness today. So number one is God is the source of everything I need to live. And that's the first point there. God is the source of everything I need to live. You don't have to look anywhere else. You don't have to look anywhere else for that. Sorry, it's a bit warm in here today. Heaters are working good, obviously. We don't have to look to things like our phones, the internet, our bank balance, the political party who's in at the time, your spouse. God is the source of everything we need to live. Sure, those things make a difference and help, but at the end of the day, God is the source of everything I need to live. How do we trust that? To ensure that it is secure. And we tend to live in a world where there's very few things that's secure. We can lose things like our job, our health, our savings, the remote control, kids, I don't know where it is at the moment. Quite often, sometimes it feels like we lose many things. But our security needs to be found in the one secure thing that we can find, one secure thing that we can access. Because as it continues on in verse 1, not only does it says the Lord is my shepherd, it goes on to say, I will lack nothing. I will lack nothing. That's the place where it says, I, the shepherd, will be your security in every area. Where the shepherd will be your security in every area. So what's a shepherd? The shepherd, as we know, takes care of those white, fluffy animals we call sheep. It's interesting that we don't ever really keep sheep as pets in our house, do we? They're kind of not that sort of animal, are they? They smell funny. They leave lots of messes everywhere. They're not the smartest. They're not going to come sit on your couch at the end of a hard day and be excited that you're there. They're not that sort of animal. They're not fast. They can run, I guess, when something's chasing them, but they don't have claws. They don't have sharp teeth. They're not very intelligent, but left to their own, they're probably going to get attacked, eaten, or they're not going to survive very well. They're going to get themselves into a world of hurt. And that's where the biblical image of the shepherd comes in. Like in our day and age, of course, we've got fences, we've got farms, we've got, you know, a lot more protection around them. But in the biblical context, they have the shepherd was their job was to take care of them. They'd take them out of wherever they were held during the day, lead them out to pasture to eat, to feed, and they'd stay with them all day. At the end of the night, they would bring them back into a secure fenced area that had bushes and shrubs around so nothing could attack them. And quite often the shepherd would sleep at the entryway to keep away wolves and stuff like that. The shepherd would lay their life on the line for the sheep. Pretty dangerous job, really, when you think about it. But the shepherd's job was to feed, to lead, and to meet needs. And that's what the shepherd would do. God says, I will be your shepherd. He says that I will feed you, I will lead you, and I will meet your needs. I will feed you, I will lead you, and I'll meet your needs. Now, your needs are various. Sometimes we need protection. Sometimes we need comfort. Sometimes we just need some encouragement along the way, don't we? Sometimes we just need the knowing that someone is there with us, so we're not by ourselves. Sometimes we need discipline. I don't like discipline. I don't like my boss says something I've done wrong or I need to do something. Do we? We don't like that part of it, but sometimes it's good. And in that process, sometimes we need direction as well. We need the direction that he offers. As part of the ministry team here, as shepherds, their job is also to feed, to lead, and to meet needs in the various groups that we run. So ministry leaders, that's your job as well. Pretty obvious for Walter at the moment. His job is to feed, meet our needs, practical needs for morning tea. Does a good job. Thank you, Walter. Great cook this morning. That's the job of the shepherd. So secondly, there is nothing I need that God can't supply. There is nothing I need that God can't supply. Point two there. Because remember, it says, I will lack nothing. In Philippians 4:19, it says, God will supply all you'll ever need from his glorious resources in Christ Jesus. His glorious resources in Christ Jesus. Think about those words for a second. What's Christ given? What resources does he have? We could write a list about that, couldn't we, when you think about it? He gave everything. But the thing that I like most about when you look through God's grace, the resources he gives, we don't have to have everything together or to be perfect for God to be good to you. Is that encouraging? We don't have to be good or perfect for God to be good to you, because God is good to you because of what Jesus did on the cross. God is good to us because of what Jesus already did on the cross for us. Third fundamental truth there is God doesn't want me worrying about anything. Nothing. Zero. Zip. In fact, worry is one of the most common sin in the planet. God says you don't need to worry about anything. Philippians 4:6, and I'll refer to this a couple of times this morning, says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. It's pretty clear there in black and white. And there's a bit of tension in that, what I've just said, I'm sure, for us. You can pray or you can panic, you can worry or you can worship. God says, I don't want you to worry about anything. Why? Why does God not want me to worry about anything? We're going to explore that a bit more with five reasons. God says that we should never, ever worry about anything. Point number one says, worry is unreasonable. It's on the second page there over to the right. Worry is unreasonable. In other words, it doesn't make sense. It is irrational. It is unreasonable. Matthew chapter 6, it says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, drink, or don't worry about your body or what you'll wear. Your life is far more important than clothes. So for some of us, that can be one of those things where we look at that, a bit of a revelation to us. We can say, that's nice, but we do struggle with things. We do worry, don't we, in life? There's things that come along that really unsettle us. It says, don't worry about the stuff that gets in the way, the temporary stuff. But if you're going to worry, worry about the external. Worry about the eternal, not the external. Worry about the eternal, not the external. The other reason not to worry is don't worry about something you can't change. Because sometimes we worry about things we can't change, can we? Can we influence the Reserve Bank to change their interest rates? We wish we could, but we can't. We can worry about it, sure, and it does create worry because it has an impact. But we can't worry about their decisions. We can only worry about what we have control. Third reason why it's irrational is any time we worry about something, it can get bigger in our minds, can't it? Those things we worry about can get bigger in our minds. Someone criticised, I'll give you an example about that. If we get criticised, someone says something that hurts our feelings, we can worry about that. And that's real. I'm sure we've all been there. Interesting thing is quite often they might have said something, we don't know the source of where they've spoken it from, but all of a sudden they've forgotten about it. They probably didn't even meet it, or probably was a one-off-handed thing. They've forgotten about it and moved on. Instead, for us, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger in our minds. Then pretty soon we get to the point where we're thinking, well, the whole world hates me. You know, this is what this person said. No, they don't hate you. This one little situation's blown out of proportion, and all of a sudden, it's taken over. So worry can be unreasonable. Worry is unnatural. Nature doesn't worry about worry. Cows, I've never seen a cow that's worried. My dog never seems worried. Maybe a little bit depressed when we don't spend a lot of time with it. The rocks in our backyard don't seem to worry. Interesting. But Jesus gives a lesson in the Sermon on the Mount about this. He says in 6:26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than birds? So really, if God takes care of the birds, talks about how he's going to take care of us. How he's going to take care of us. He says in Matthew, he says, why do you worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies of the field. They don't worry about theirs. Why do birds contribute to the world? Well, let's look at birds for a second. They tweet and they poop. That's about it. Really? My mum's got a canary and that's all it does. We go visit. You're either cleaning out the cage or you're getting deafened by the sound that comes out of it. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful bird and a beautiful sound comes out of its mouth and all that stuff. But that's pretty much all it does. Birds are on God's welfare plan. The Craigs as well, because you obviously feed the birds. Well done. Well done. But God says he's going to do so much more. Yeah, the birds are beautiful to listen to, but We are worth so much more in that. He says, look at the flowers and how God makes them beautiful. Having been a Canberran now for nearly 8 years, we've been to Floriade a number of times. And it intrigues me every time we go to see the flowers with the multiple colours through them. And sometimes around the edges of the petals, they've got all the different, you know, it's just fascinating when you look at them in close detail. Now, I'm not a photographer. I don't take lots of pretty photos and all that stuff of them, but I'm just intrigued by how they look, that just the colours that come through them. They're amazing, amazing the way they're put together. And you cannot help but contemplate nature, can we, in those moments. Sometimes you look outside and you look at the buds already on the trees. You know, all of a sudden, like, I get hopeful when you see the buds on the trees in the backyard going, winter's over. Hallelujah. But I don't think it is. However, you can see that nature's already preparing for the next season. It's about to take for what's next. It's amazing. They're not worried about their appearance. They're just who they are, and that's beautiful. So the point I want to make is that we are cared for more than these. We are cared for more than these. Third point there is worry is unhelpful, and I've already talked a little bit about that. But worry doesn't work. Have you fixed a problem by worrying? I generally haven't. Because Jesus says in 6:27 in Matthew, who are you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Worry can't make you taller, shorter, bigger, or smaller. Can't make you richer, can't make you more successful. If anything, it zaps the strength out of your body. Would you agree with that? I agree with that. Worry zaps the strength out of your body. Proverbs gives us a bit of wisdom on this in 12:25, where the Bible says, worry weighs us down. Worry weighs us down. I'm sure many of you can give testimony to that. Worry causes more fatigue than work does, than putting in a hard day's work. If you put in a full day's work, manual labour, you come home and you're tired, but you're not stressed out. Well, it depends on your situation, of course. You could be stressed out, but generally if it's physical labour, you're more just tired rather than stressed out. As opposed to worry. So what do we do about it? We want the practical application, don't we? What do we actually do about it? We do this. Every day, ask him to be my shepherd. Every day, we ask him to be my shepherd. That's over the page on the reverse side there. A personal invite each day from our Creator. As I mentioned earlier, whenever I use Psalm 21 at a funeral, I always, quite often we might read it, but I'll conclude by saying we can read these lovely words on paper, but unless we make the Lord my shepherd, unless we personalise through that relationship, all the other goodness that's talked about in that Psalms doesn't really amount to much at all. It's about that relationship we have with him. If I ask him to be my shepherd, then he's going to feed, he's going to lead, and he's going to meet our needs. Does that mean life's going to be peaches and cream jumping from one lily pad to the next? No. No. It's not that simple. But he'll be with us. He's not only going to feed, lead, and meet our needs, he's also going to forgive your misdeed and help you succeed when you trust him. So what do you do? What's the practical way of doing that? And I like this as practical teaching. Is every morning you get up, before you even get out of bed, you can say in your prayer, the Lord is my shepherd. We can personalize it. Ask him to be my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus Christ, I'm expecting you to feed me, lead me, and meet my needs today, to help me succeed. Forgive my misdeeds and I'll trust you with that situation. When a situation comes up in your day, when you go, I don't know what I'm going to do about that, remind yourself the Lord is my shepherd What I'm about to hear, I might not want to hear. I might not want to hear about my kid's report card at school when I meet with the principal. Probably don't want to have that conversation. But whatever I hear, the Lord will be my shepherd. I don't want to hear correction or discipline from my boss. I want to remind myself that the Lord is my shepherd, and what I hear today will be okay, because God's ultimately going to feed, lead, and meet my needs. You got to make a major decision in your life that might have great impacts. We've got to be reminded that the Lord is my shepherd in those situations. Maybe you've got to say it a number of times a day, and that's okay. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." He said that to his disciples. Jesus says, "I'm it. I'm him. I am the Lord. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they know me." And it says this line, which he did and proved it in practice, that "I will lay down my life for my sheep." He spoke about that. And that's just what he did on the cross. He gave his life for yours. What a gift that he gave us. Every day that we need to pray the prayer that David prayed in Psalm 28, it says, "Come, Lord, save us and bless us. Be our shepherd and always carry us in your arms." That picture of the great shepherd. Do we remember as a kid, if you ever went on a picnic or an outing with the kids, maybe a hike, a long walk? I'm thinking of a long walk around a theme park in particular. You get to the end of the day and all you want to do, or what do your kids ask us now as adults? "Can you pick me up? My legs are tired and I can't walk any further." You know, how many times have we heard that? "I'm pooped out and I don't want to walk to the car. Can you please pick me up?" That's what happens to us during our week sometimes, doesn't it? You know, how many times do you get to like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you got tasks to do that you just don't want to do and think, "I'd just love to sit in the recliner at home and just rest. But that's 4 hours away and I'm not going to get there." That's when we come to him and say, "God, I'm just pooped out. I'm worn out. I don't think I can put one foot in front of the other. I need you to pick me up and carry me right now, to carry me to the car, to take me home." And do you know what he says? "I'm your shepherd. I am your shepherd. I'll care for you. I'll bless you. I'll protect you. I'll save you. I'll guide you and I'll direct you." Point number two, I'll give him, Jesus, first place in every area of my life. When we invite Jesus into our lives, not only on a Sunday at 9:15 till 12 noon, it's all or nothing. We give him the whole house, not just the kitchen or the lounge room. We give him our bedroom, the secret cupboard under the sink that's always messy where things get tossed to get out of the way. He wants all. He wants to be part of all of our lives. Now the Bible says in Matthew 6, it says, "Your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well what you need." We stop right there. Any need you mention to God, he already knows. So it says in Scripture. He says, "I already know before you ask." He says, and he will. Not might. "He will give you what you need." That doesn't mean we get what we want, does it? We don't get what we want in those moments. He gives us what we need. Every day I ask Jesus to be my shepherd. Whether it's once a day, twice a day, or 10 times a day, we can do that. Number three, trust him one day at a time. We'd sing a song about that, couldn't we? Who's singing that song in their head already? Yep. "Sweet Jesus, sentiment." No, I won't sing a solo. Some songwriters has some profound skills. Any journey takes a first step, one bit at a time, and that's part of it. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you." He cares about what happens to you. We've already heard Philippians 4, which I mentioned earlier, but here it is again. Don't worry about tomorrow. Thank him and you'll experience God's peace that will pass all human understanding. Sometimes we pray about a situation and we think, "I got no idea what's going to happen." Then before long, that's out of the way, and we realize that God's intervened along the way. So Matthew 6:34, Jesus says, "So don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I think we can all agree with that. I like what Bill will often say if he was here today. "You don't borrow the sorrow of tomorrow." Have you heard Bill say that? Yes, don't borrow the sorrow of tomorrow. Quite often we get caught up in what tomorrow is going to bring that we forget to live about today. It's like we don't open our umbrella until it starts to rain because it hasn't happened yet and it might not happen. We can be prepared, we can carry our umbrella, but we don't open it until it's started to rain. It hasn't happened yet. There's 2 days of every week you should never worry about. Do you know what those days they are? Yesterday and tomorrow. Well done, Lynn. Gold stars this morning. We should not worry about yesterday or tomorrow because we've got no control over that. We've got control about today. That's what we control about. Don't worry about the future until you learn to manage today. Sometimes we need to work through that first. There are a couple of reasons why we should only live one day at a time. First, when you worry about tomorrow's problems, you'll miss the blessings of today. And secondly, you can't solve tomorrow's problems yet with today's power. We need to live into today and work on today's power and God's grace and wisdom for tomorrow. Now, I'm going to just be clear about that point. It's okay to plan for tomorrow. I'm not saying you don't plan, we just live one day at a time. That's okay to be able to do that. But we don't get caught up in the worry of stuff that can't take on yet. Worry is bad, and Jesus highly does recommend planning, and Proverbs talks about it. God says it's foolish not to plan. The best thing we can plan for is eternity with God. That's the best thing that we can plan for, eternity with God. And as I often say, when does that start? Now. When we accept Jesus as our Saviour, eternity with Him begins now. And that's where it begins. Now, I know that the future can often seem overwhelming, but God graciously divided it into 24-hour segments so that you don't get all your futures at once. They come in little segments, one bit at a time, 24 hours at a time. Matthew 6:34 says, and this is from the Message translation, and I love it. It says this. It says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. So we're not talking about yesterday. We're not talking about tomorrow. We're talking about right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. We can't write off things that we struggle with in life, but we're just reminded today that God has got a hand in that. We can stand in His promises to be reminded that the Lord is my shepherd, to invite my shepherd to journey with us. Look to Him because He promises that He's going to feed, He's going to lead, and He's going to meet our needs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we are just grateful as Your created beings that we are made in Your image, Lord. And Lord, worry is something that comes along and is a challenge to us each in many different ways and many different forms. But God, today is a reminder that You are there to lead us, to feed us, and to meet our needs in the journey that we, in this thing that we call life, Father. And we just want to be reminded that we can invite You on that journey, Lord, that when we have moments of worry that crop up in our lives, that we can just bring them before You to be reminded that You are our shepherd and that You will meet our needs in that moment. Doesn't mean life's going to be peaches and cream and all easy, but we're reminded that You are with us through that journey and we can invite You at any moment to join us on that journey. So today, as we leave here, if we're carrying worries, hurts, or whatever that may be, Lord, that You will be guided with us. You will guide us through. And we just pray that You'll do that today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stay standing for the benediction.
Go now with your trust in the Good Shepherd, and let us love not just in words, but in truth and action. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. And may God be at your side, even in the valleys of death. May Christ Jesus be the cornerstone of your life, and may the Holy Spirit abide in you, and tend you with love and mercy all the days of your life. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.